I came here to offer my allegiance. I came because I trusted him. So why does he make me think I should not? Edith sighed. Maybe, Sophos, because he is an idiot. She shook her head. He sent me to ask if you will negotiate a surrender. I cannot speak for him otherwise, but Sophos, I know he is your friend. So he sends you to ask me to forgive him? Edith was silent. Eugenides did not expect to be forgiven.
Can we just skip to the part where Helen and Sophos get engaged, please? Welcome back, you poor excuses for royal heirs. I'm Noelle.
And I'm Caitlin.
And this is the Aetolian Archives, your Queen's Thief reread podcast to get you through the wait for Return of the Thief. It's September 20th, 2020. Today we're talking about chapter 13 of Conspiracy of Kings, and this is the chapter where you really realize that this book is going to be emotionally muddy. As emotionally muddy, if not more so than Queen of Aetolia.
And I feel like it's more out in the open in this book. Like, the emotions are kind of hidden for, well, okay, not like, you know, the PTSD agony, that's not hidden in Queen of Aetolia, but like, the love, you find out later, but like, you know, there's more. I don't know, I feel like there's more surface. You know what? I'm reevaluating. I'm changing my mind. Never mind.
No, I think you're right, because
I don't know.
I think you really see the way that Sophos is struggling with this in this book. And it's less palatable, it's more difficult to accept as a reader because he has so much less freedom of choice. Like Eugenides, he loses so much in attaining his goal, but he chose to do that.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like we're more in Sophos's brain in this book, whereas Jen in Queen of Aetolia isn't a viewpoint character as much.
Yeah, we'd already pulled back from him more.
So it feels like we're a lot closer to whatever emotions we have here.
The Thief sort of has a twin in Thick as Thieves in that it's a quest narrative. It has sort of this happy ending where the goals are met. And I think
the
Queen of Aetolia has a twin in this book. It's all about compromise.
And war, kind of. King of Aetolia, there's no war at all. Almost. Like, you get a sentence or two saying it's still going on, but that's it. But Queen of Aetolia and Conspiracy of Kings are the same war. It's just Queen of Aetolia is the beginning, and this is the end of it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild that it feels like it just kind of paused for King of Aetolia.
We took a break so that we could do some emotional development, hang out in the palace, drink some wine.
And this chapter is largely about what's going on between Helen and Sophos.
Even as it's also about what's going on between Sophos and Jen. Because all of that can't really be teased apart anymore. Like, it's all interrelated.
We learned that an unfinished letter to Helen was stolen from Sophos' desk and delivered to his uncle. His uncle intercepted Edith's next letter and then had a shouting match with the Magus and Sophos' father that resulted in, we learned in chapter one, Sophos being sent away to Letnos, away from the Magus' influence, which I think we can infer from that. The Magus saw this marriage proposal, whatever, and said, Edith is on board with this, let's get those two married. And probably Sophos' uncle and father were like, no, let's marry the actual king of Sunnis to Edith.
And nobody thought to yell at Sophos about it, it seems.
Fingers crossed.
They just yelled amongst themselves.
Yeah. Which I guess just kind of shows, you know, how little his father and uncle at least thought of him as, like, relevant in this.
Yeah. Like, even this is his most personal life. And
yeah. Also, can you imagine? I think someone pointed out on Tumblr last week, and I saw this, that it would have looked to Helen like Sophos had just ghosted her. and just, like, hadn't replied to her letter about the proposal. But he just never got it. So
sad. And then he went missing!
Yeah!
He could have been dead.
And 2 pages into this chapter, it's revealed they've been holding hands this whole time. Oh.
They were newsflash. They've been holding hands the entire time! There is some romantic stuff in this chapter. Like, they're very, we're being very practical, and we can't all of us be throwing ink pots like Jen and Irene. we're the down-to-earth ones. But, oh, man, when he says Mariah King in more than just name, it would be all I dreamed of. I love the detail of that all,
that
comma, all.
That repeated all is just like... Yeah, it's just very opera, very, you know, that's just what I picture when I read this line. It's like some actor on a stage being very emotional, but he means it. It's not acting.
Mm-hmm. But they have to consider, is he going to succeed politically, and what's going on with Atolia, and what's the situation with the Medes? All of that affects when they're going to get married and if they're going to get married.
Yeah. And it sounds like from this... At the very end, Edis asks, you wish to wait then until you were confirmed as soon as, I guess implying, you know, wait to get married or engaged. And he says yes. So I take from that he would have no problem hypothetically joining Soonis and Edis at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Once he's confirmed. I want to keep that in mind for later.
Does he know at this point that her entire country is... due to go kaput?
No. So that's why I'm just a little bit puzzled. Because at the end, you know, he's so against joining their two countries because he knows that now that Soonis is part of Atolia, technically, that would also make Edis part of Soonis and part of Atolia, subject to Jen. But doesn't he already know that at the end of this chapter? If he's just agreed in this chapter to negotiate a surrender, ally with Atolia, and be under Atolia's control, whatever, doesn't he know that even after he's confirmed with Soonis, if he's going to marry Edis, it's going to unite the two countries, right? So, like, I don't understand why would there be no, like, oh, we can't have Edis subjugated also in this chapter, but it does come up at the very end, like... I don't see anything that's changed between
maybe
now and then.
Just,
like, he hasn't thought of it.
Reconsiders the situation.
Yeah.
And maybe. Like, it seems very important to him that in order to marry her, he has to be king of something.
Right.
Like, he knows that he wants to, like, he can't come with nothing. But also, he... Like, the fact that he is king of a country means that he comes with all of the baggage of that place and its relationships. And Edis comes as Jen's messenger in this chapter.
Which
is
very...
Which I think is really interesting.
I was going to say it's very, like... What's that word? my brain is giving me the word double-handed, but I'm sure that's not it. Underhanded! Okay. Yeah, he's not double-handed. Because he knows Sophos isn't going to say no to Helen about anything.
Yeah. And, like, she's willing to act in this capacity.
Mm-hmm.
She goes and she sort of tricks him into talking to her about this honestly. And we talk about how wrenching it is that Sophos loses in this way and has to accept it. But, like, Helen has already gone through that, but, like, so privately. Like, she's in the process of losing everything and just trying to rearrange what she's going to be left with into something she can work with. If she...
Oh, wait, you mean, like, with the volcano?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Because it is ultimately advantageous for her... the three countries to unite. I mean, for many reasons, but particularly because there's this oncoming disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she's... I mean, there's so much about the public and the private. Like, she's dealing with this very privately. And she's sort of the only character whose conflict is really happening very internally. Like, so internally that we barely see it. We just know it's there.
Yeah. There was something else I didn't understand in this chapter. Sopho says, Sunnis could not yield to Atolia, but I believe I can yield to Eugenides as the king of Atolia and still be Sunnis and still hold my country. We can unite against a far greater danger. But, like, is he talking about the old Sunnis and Atolia as the person? Because if not, I don't understand how that's any different than him yielding to Eugenides. Like, I don't understand the distinction he's trying to make.
I think that in a practical sense, it's not very different, but it makes a big difference to him.
So is he trying to frame it like one country can't yield to another, but I'm a person and I'm this other person's friend, so I, as a person, can yield to this other person and still be a king and have a country, but like...
Like, in the abstract, Sunnis yielding to Atolia would mean that Sunnis would cease to exist. Like, and that would be untenable for Sunnis, meaning Sopho's king of Sunnis. But because he has this relationship, it doesn't have to happen quite like that. He can retain some dignity. Because that's the thing he's trying to achieve, is that Sunnis becomes, like, essentially a vassal state, but it still exists, and he's still the king.
Yeah. And that it's not all Atolia wins and Sunnis loses everything.
Even though, like, if Ben and Irene wanted it that way, or if Sophos resisted, it would happen that way. Like, Eugenides wants to make it very clear that he's going to take it, whether Sunnis wants him to or not. So you had better just give it. Which is just... it's painful. Like, that's all that they can achieve, like, out of their great love.
You know, it says Eugenides did not expect to be forgiven, and, you know, Sophos is making such a big deal out of, you know, this is a distant, unfriendly political thing to do. And then, as we know, Jen just stays distant for a while. So my question for you is, like, does this... Eugenides did not expect to be forgiven and all this distance. Does this mean, like, Jen was just assuming that they can't be friends after this? So he wasn't even going to try? Like, the political can't be personal anymore because he's had to do this political dick move?
Yeah, I think so.
So he doesn't want to try to be friends again and be rejected. Do you think that's what's up here?
Yeah, and I think Jen, like, he wouldn't assume that he had the right to be forgiven. Like, I think Jen is projecting his own feelings of self-hatred. Like, he knows that this is what he has to do, but he feels like he wouldn't forgive himself. Like, if he were Sophos, would he forgive Jen? And I think Jen's answer might be no. And I think he underestimates how strongly attached to him Sophos is.
Yeah. Especially since now that Jen has more power than Sophos politically and personally, if he did try to be friends again with Sophos and Sophos didn't want that, Sophos might not feel at ease saying no to that because Jen has the power in that relationship.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I think
he might not believe it was genuine.
Yeah, exactly. That's a source of increased discomfort.
If overtures started from Jen, Jen might not be able to believe that Sophos was sincere.
I think it's interesting that Jen sort of misjudges the depth of Sophos' feelings so extremely, because he's generally so perceptive, and he works hard to cultivate loyalty in particular people. And I mean, I think maybe that, I mean, they haven't seen each other in a long time, is a big factor. And Jen, like, Jen was a different person. And, like, he's changed so much and he doesn't believe that, like, Sophos will still feel that he is Jen.
But also, I think there's an aspect of you can be as perceptive as the day is long for other people, but when it's the people that are really close to you, sometimes that fails. You know?
Yeah, good point.
But Sophos is very clear here and says, I believe I know him, all evidence to the contrary, and that if he is a Tolis, he is also my friend Jen.
Do you think there's any symbolism in Helen and Sophos both having broken noses?
I like the idea.
I'm so interested in the idea of Sophos and Helen as these mirror people to Jen and Irene. They're reference points for each other. Irene compares herself to Helen, and Helen compares herself to Irene, and Sophos is always thinking, oh, I fall short compared to Jen, and what would Jen do, and we don't know what Jen is thinking, but I think Jen may be thinking along the same lines, and they're kind of like, everybody assumes that everybody else is doing it right.
Yeah. And I see a connection there between, like, you know, you could maybe say Jen put love first in marrying Julia because he loved her, and then thinking about the politics. But in this chapter, Sophos is saying the exact opposite, that I would have to question my own feelings if I dragged you into so poor a match, because I don't think I love you that much that I'm going to do something that's, like, bad for you. And Edith says, you know, this would be great if this was a play, and, you know, you would thrown off your chains of bondage solely for love of me, but that's not real life. Which is, I feel, not how Jenna and Irene would be handling this if the political situations were reversed. Two other things I noticed about the politics in this chapter is Sophos says, when he's explaining, like, this is what I thought would happen, he says, I thought Sunis would be free, only allied as a tributary of Aetolia, much as Malens is allied with Feria, which is interesting because it shows us that we have precedent for this type of political alliance, or, you know, semi-takeover, vassal state, whatever. But interestingly, he says, I could sell half my country to Malens to get its protection, but that would only delay the Medes, not turn them back. But he thinks that if he goes with Aetolia, and it's Aetolia, Edis, and Sunis together against the Medes, they're going to win where Sunis and Malens don't stand a chance together against the Medes. Which I just thought was interesting. Especially since it would then be Sunis, Malens, and Feria, I guess, from that Malens-Feria connection. Possibly.
They always talk about the continent like it has all this military power.
We know they talk about the continent having its own political agenda, and, like, the continent doesn't want the Medes taking over either, whatever. But it's interesting that Sophos thinks that against the Medes, Sunis doesn't have a chance unless he allies with Edis and Aetolia. Malens would still just be dooming his country, but a little bit slower.
Yeah, the characters do seem to have quite a bit of faith that if Edis, Sunis, and Aetolia manage to unite, that they will be successful.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
October 6, 2020.
And there are still threats from within. Do you want to wrap up? Because my instinct right now is to start talking about Thick as Thieves.
Yes. I am a little bit disappointed Return of the Thief is going to come out before we get to Thick as Thieves, because I feel like it's going to change our perspective on it so much.
I know.
Ugh. Probably in a good way. That's chapter 13. And next time we get a myth about goats.
Send us your comments, questions, and thoughts. Chime in at italianarchives.tumblr.com.
Be blessed in your endeavors.
Thank you for listening. This has been an amateur embroidery production. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available.